Good evening. This is Orson Welles, your producer of a special series of broadcasts presented by the makers of Pabst Blue Ribbon. The Mercury Summer Theater of the Air.
Tonight, Pabst Blue Ribbon presents you with a front row seat at one of the greatest plays ever written. But right now, before we get started, I'd like to admit that I always get annoyed when folks go around sad-faced because summer is over. Why, what better season is there than fall? Yes, I'm strictly a fall man. I like that big roaring fire and a heaping bowl of popcorn and good tangy apples and plenty of blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. Why, fall is just one more season when a fellow can really enjoy those never less than 33 fine brews blended into one great beer. And listen, folks, if your dealer can't always supply all the Pabst Blue Ribbon you'd like, keep right on asking. After all, it's sure worth asking for, especially these fall days. For when you come home after a brisk walk in the crisp autumn air, you're going to enjoy more than ever that perfect Pabst Blue Ribbon flavor. Not too heavy, not too light, but fresh, clean, sparkling, with a real beer taste coming through just the way you like it. Yes, sir, you're going to want your share of blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. And now let's raise the curtain on the Mercury Theater. Mr. Wells.
Tonight, for our last broadcast on this series, besides your obedient servant, you'll hear the following Mercury players. Miss Agnes Moorhead, Mr. Edgar Berrier, Elliot Reed, Mr. Rain Tuttle, Mr. William Allen, Norman Field, Miss Mary Lansing, and our narrator, John Brown.
Here follows a half-hour's radio production by the Mercury Theater of William Shakespeare's greatest tragedy. Scenes from King Lear.
Give me the map there. Now we have divided in three our kingdom. It is our past intent to shake all cares and business from our age, conferring them on younger strengths, whilst we unburdened crawl toward death. Tell me, my daughters, which of you shall we say doth love us most? Goneril, our eldest born. Speak first.
Sir, I love you more than words can wield the matter. Dearer than eyesight, space and liberty. Beyond what can be valued, rich or rare, no less than life. With grace, health, beauty, honor. A love that makes breath poor and speech unable. Beyond all manner of so much, I love you.
Of all these bounds, even from this line to this, with shadowy forests and with champains rich, with plenteous rivers and wide-skirted meads, we make thee lady. Oh. What says our second daughter, our dearest Regan?
I am made of that self-metal as my sister, and prize me at her worth.
To thee and thine hereditary ever remain this ample third of our fair kingdom.
What shall Cordelia do? Love and be silent.
Now our joy, although the last, not least. What can you say to draw a third, more opulent than your sisters? Speak.
Nothing, my lord.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing will come of nothing. Speak again.
Unhappy that I am, I cannot heave my heart into my mouth. I love your majesty according to my bond. Nor more, nor less.
Oh, Cordelia, mend your speech a little, lest it may mar your fortunes.
Good, my lord. You have begot me, bred me, loved me. I return those duties back as a right fit. Obey you, love you, and most honor you. But I shall never marry like my sisters to love my father, or...
But goes thy heart with this?
Aye, good, my lord.
So young, so untender.
So young, my lord, and true.
Let it be so. Thy truth, then, be thy dower. Here I disclaim all parental care, propinquity and property of blood. And as a stranger to my heart and me, hold thee from this forever.
Good, my liege.
This chance, royal liege. Chance on my life no more.
My life I never held but as a pawn to wage against thy enemy.
Out of my sight.
Yes, sir. There. To kill thy physician and the fee bestow upon the foul disease.
Hear me, recreant.
I tell thee thou dost...
On my allegiance, hear me. Since thou hast sought to make us break our vow, which we durst never yet, take thy reward. 5 days we do allot thee for provision to shield thee from diseases of the world. But on the sixth, to turn thy hated back upon our kingdom. If on the 10th day following, thy banished trunk be found in our dominions, the moment is thy last. Away by Jupiter! This shall not be revoked.
honest Kent, condemned to exile, disguises himself and stays on in England to watch over his beloved king.
Now, banished Kent, if thou can serve where thou dost stand condemned, so may it come. Thy master, whom thou lovest, shall find thee full of labors.
When old Lear, at the head of his small retinue of 100 knights, visits his eldest daughter, Goneril, Kent, disguised as a poor serving man, comes upon the king.
How now? What art thou?
A man, sir. A very honest-hearted fellow, and as poor as the king.
If thou be as poor for a subject as he is for a king, thou art poor enough. What wouldst thou?
Service.
Who wouldst thou serve?
You?
Dost thou know me, fellow?
No, sir. But you have that in your countenance which I would fain call master.
What's that?
Authority.
How old art thou?
Not so young, sir, to love a woman for singing, nor so old to dote on her for anything.
Follow me, and thou shalt serve me. If I like thee no worse after dinner, I shall not part from thee yet.
In Lear's train, the favorite of the king is a little fellow in a coxcomb, the medieval cap and bells. This is the court jester, the half-witted, sharp-witted fool.
The sweet and bitter fool will presently appear.
Sir!
What fool?
You had best take my coxcomb.
Why?
Your master has banished Tuan's daughters and done the third a blessing against his will.
Dost thou call me a fool, boy?
All thy other titles thou hast given away. That thou wast born with.
Huh?
Oh, nuncle. Thou hadst little wit in thy bald crown when thou gavest thy golden one away. Oh, faith, I had rather be any kind of thing than a fool, and yet I would not be thee, nuncle. Thou hast pared thy wit of both sides and left nothing in the middle.
My father?
Here comes one of the pairings.
Not only, sir, this your all-licensed fool, but other of your insolent retinue do hourly carp and quarrel, breaking forth in rank and not to be endured riot. Sir, I had thought, by making this well known unto you, to have found a safe redress. But you protect this cause and put it on by your allowance.
You are, daughter.
Oh, good, my father. I do beseech you to understand my purposes aright. As you are old and reverent, you should be wise. Here do you keep 100 knights and squires, men so disordered, so debauched and bold, that this our court, infected with their manners, shows like a riotous inn. Be then desired by her that else will take the things she begs. A little to disquantity your train.
Darkness and devils. Saddle my horses. I'll not trouble thee. Yet have I left a daughter.
Pray, sir, be patient.
Detested kite, thou liest. My train are men of choice and rarest parts that all particulars of duty know, and in the most exact regard support the worships of their name.
My father.
Oh, most small fault, how ugly didst thou in Cordelia show, that like an engine wrenched my frame of nature from the fixed place, drew from my heart all love, and added to the gall. Oh, Lear, 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 beat at this gate that let thy folly in, and thy dear judgment out.
Tis the infirmity of your age. You hath ever but slenderly known yourself.
Hear, nature, hear, dear goddess, hear, suspend thy purpose. If thou didst intend to make this creature fruitful, into her womb convey sterility, dry up in her the organs of increase, and from her derogate body never spring a babe to honor her. If she must teem, create a child of spleen that it may live and be a thwart, disnatured torment to her. Let it stamp wrinkles in her brow of youth, with cadent tears fret channels in her cheeks. Turn all a mother's pains and benefits to laughter and contempt, that she may feel how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. I did her wrong.
The reason why the seven stars are no more than seven is a pretty reason.
Because they are not eight.
Yes, indeed. Oh, that would make a good fool. Oh, Nuncle, if thou wert my fool, I'd have thee beaten for being old before thy time.
How's that?
Thou shouldst not have been old till thou hadst been wise.
Oh, let me not be mad. Not mad, sweet heaven. Keep me in temper. I would not be mad.
After his cold reception at the castle of the Lady Goneril, Lear and his train march on to the other half of the kingdom he divided between his eldest daughters, to a second born.
I'm glad to see Your Highness.
Regan. Regan, I think you are. Beloved Regan, thy sister's not. Oh, Regan, she hath tied sharp-toothed unkindness like a vulture here.
Sir, you are old. You should be ruled and led by some discretion that discerns your state better than you yourself. Therefore, I pray you that to our sister you do make return. Say you have wronged her, sir.
Ask her forgiveness? Dear daughter, I confess that I am old. Age is unnecessary. On my knees, I beg that you vouchsafe me raiment, bed, and food. She hath abated me of half my train, looks back upon me, struck me with her tongue most serpent-like upon the very heart. What trumpet's that?
I know it. My sister's. This approves her letter that she would soon be here. Sister Goneril, Regan.
Art not ashamed, O Regan, wilt thou take her by the hand?
Why not by the hand, sir? How have I offended?
I prithee, daughter, do not make me mad. I will not trouble thee, my child. Farewell. We'll no more meet, no more see one another. But yet thou art my flesh, my blood, my daughter. Or rather, a disease that's in my flesh, which I must needs call mine. Thou art a boil, a plague sore, an embossed carbuncle in my corrupted blood. But I'll not chide thee. Mend when thou canst be better at thy leisure. I can be patient. I can stay with Regan. I and my 100 knights.
Not altogether so.
Huh?
I looked not for you yet, nor am provided for your fit welcome.
Is this well spoken?
I pray your father, being weak, seems so.
What?
If till the expiration of your month you will return and sojourn with my sister, dismissing half your train, come then to me.
Return to her and 50 men dismissed? Regan, said you so?
And speak again, my lord. If you will come to me, for now I spy a danger, I entreat you to bring but 25. To no more will I give place or notice.
I gave you all.
And in good time you gave it.
Goneril, I'll go with thee. Thy 50 at the double 25. Thou art twice her love.
Hear me, my lord. What need you 25? 10 or 5? To follow in a house where twice as many have a command to tend you.
What need one?
Oh, reason not for need. Our basest beggars are in the poorest things superfluous. Allow not nature more than nature needs. Man's life as cheap as beasts. Thou art a lady, if only to go warm or gorgeous. Why, nature needs not what thou gorgeous wearst, which scarcely keeps thee warm, but for true need.
Oh.
Heavens! Give me that patience, patience, and need. You see me here, you gods, a poor old man, as full of grief as age, wretched in both. If it be you that stirs these daughters' hearts against their father, fool me not so much to bear it tamely. Touch me with noble anger, and let not woman's weapons' water drop stain my man's cheeks. No! You unnatural hags! I will have such revenges on you both that all the world shall... I will do such things. What they are yet I know not. But they shall be the terrors of the earth. You think I'll weep? No. I'll not weep. I have full cause of weeping. But this heart shall break into 100,000 flaws. Or ere I'll weep. Oh, fool. I shall go.
Leah will go mad. His daughters, Goneril and Regan, will die. But not till war divides them. Till Cordelia, now Queen of France, comes to do battle in the realm of Britain. Before the wheel has come full circle, Lear will find his sanity again and live to see Cordelia murdered. But first, the tragedy takes us to a windswept heath.
Friendship will it lend you against the tempest, repose you there.
My wits begin to tremble. Come on, my boy. Oh. My boy. Not cold. I am cold myself.
Here is the place, my lord.
Let me alone. It will break my heart.
I had rather break mine own. Good, my lord. Enter here.
This tempest will not give me leave to ponder on things which hurt me more.
Who's been in there?
What's he?
Who's there? What is to seek?
What are you there?
My lord of Gloucester.
Ha! Goneril, with a white beard. They flattered me like a dog to say aye and no to everything that I said. But when the wind came to wet me once, and the rain came to make me chatter, when the thunder would not cease at my bidding, there I found them, there I smelled them out. Go to. They are not men of their words. They told me I was everything. It's a lie. I am not ague-proof.
Is not the king?
Aye. Every inch a king. When I do stare, see other subject quakes, I pardon that man's life. What was the cause? Adultery? Thou shalt not die, die for adultery. No. The wren goes to it in a small gilded fly. There's lecher in my sight. suit luxury, pell-mell, for I lack soldiers. Behold yon simpering dame, whose face between her forks presages snow that minces virtue, and doth shake the head to hear a pleasured mane. The fiction of a soiled horse goes toot with a more riotous appetite. Down from the waist there are centaurs. The women all above. But to the girdles of the gods inherit, beneath it all the fiends. There's hell. There's darkness. There's a sulfurous pit, burning, scalding, a stench, consumption. Give me an ounce of civet, good apostle, to sweeten my imagination.
Oh, let me kiss that hand.
Let me wipe it first. It smells of mortality.
Good friend, I prithee take him in my arms. I have overheard a plot of death upon him. There's a litter ready. Lay him in this way, my lord.
See how yon justice railed upon yon simple thief, changed places and handed Andy. Which is the justice, which is the thief? Thou seen a farmer's dog bark at a beggar?
Aye, sir.
And the creature run from the cur? There thou mightst behold the great image of authority. A dog's obeyed in office. Thou rascal beetle, hold thy bloody hand. Why dost thou lash that board? Strip thine own back. Thou hotly lustest to use her in that kind for which thou whipst her. The usurer hands the cozener. Through tattered clothes, small vices do appear. Robes and furred gowns hide all. Plates in with gold. And the strong lance of justice hurtless breaks. Armed in rags, a pygmy's straw is pierced.
Oh, matter and impertinence, he makes reason in madness.
When we are born, we cry that we are come to this great stage of fools. There's a good block. It were a delicate stratagem to shoe a troop of horse with felt. I'll put them to when I've stolen upon these sons-in-law. Then, kill. 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 Kill.
Lear, carrying in his arms the dead body of Cordelia.
Help! 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 Oh, you are men of stone.
Had I your tongues and eyes, I helped use them so that heaven's vault should crack. She's gone forever. I know when one is dead and when one lives. She's dead as earth. Lend me a looking glass. If that a breath will mist or stain the stone, why then she lives. This feather stirs. She lives. If it be so, it is a chance which does redeem all sorrows that ever have felt.
Oh, my good master.
Plague upon you, murderers. Raiders all. I might have saved her, but she's gone forever. Cordelia. Cordelia. Stay a little.
is your sister? Her voice was ever soft, gentle and low. An excellent thing in woman.
Sir, your eldest daughters have foredone themselves and desperately are dead.
And my poor fools hanged. No life. Why should a dog, a horse, a rat have life for now? No breath at all. Love come no more. Never. Pray you, undo this button. Thank you, sir. You see this? Look on her. Look, her lips. Look there. Look there.
Evades, my lord. My lord!
Vex not his ghost. Oh, let him pass. He hates him to put upon the rack of this tough world. Stretch him out longer.
He is gone indeed.
The oldest has borne most. We that are young shall never see so much, nor live so long.
You have just heard the Mercury production of King Lear. Mr. Wells will return in just a moment. But first, let me again remind you to be patient with your dealer when occasionally these days he is unable to supply you with all the Pabst Blue Ribbon you'd like. He's doing his best, you can be sure of that. Yes, and here's something else you can be sure of. Every single bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon you do get will, as always, be the happy blending of never less than 33 fine brews. Yes, every foaming frosty glass you enjoy will, as always, have that famous Pabst Blue Ribbon flavor. Not too heavy, not too light, but fresh, clean, sparkling, with a real beer taste coming through the way you like it. So keep asking for blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. And here again is Orson Welles.
My thanks to grand sponsors for a grand summer engagement. Our thanks to you, the audience, for joining us. Please look for us again until then. The Mercury remains, as always, obediently yours.
Yes, Orson, the makers of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer wish to extend their sincere thanks and appreciation to you and your entire Mercury company for a magnificent summer series of truly great drama. Starting Thursday, September 26th, Pabst Blue Ribbon is bringing to the radio the one and only Eddie Cantor with a brand new show. Remember, the new Eddie Cantor Show. This program came to you through the courtesy of the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, makers of blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.